Unfortunately, it doesn't make the passage any easier. Good morning, everyone. My name's Joey. I'm one of the pastors here at church, and it's good to be with you. Well, this is a tough passage, and I didn't think it would be so hard when I first picked it. And I need to apologize straight up, because we're doing a little mini-series on money in the school holidays, hence why I chose this passage. But after wrestling with it all week, I don't actually think it's hugely about money. There's elements of that, yes, but I didn't feel led to talk about that through wrestling with this passage. I also think this is going to be one of the shortest sermons I've ever preached, because I believe that God has given me just one word for us this morning. This is no three-point sermon. It's a one-point sermon of random smatterings of hopefully inspired Joey thoughts around one point. Does it sound good? Are you inspired?
Yes.
I've just committed the cardinal sin of speaking, telling you to have low expectations. Let's pray. Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May your Holy Spirit illuminate the scripture for us today so that we may see you brighter in what can sometimes feel like a very dark world. Illuminate the parts of our heart that are not submitted to you, Father, and lead us in your ways. Please, Lord, lead us. And may any word that comes from my mouth that is not of you fall to the ground. You are holy, Lord. We revere you. We worship you. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone like gardening? What do you like about gardening? Ripping stuff out? Putting stuff in? Watching things grow. You must spend a lot of time sitting there watching Kieran. Anyone else? Does anyone hate gardening? A few of us. Yeah. Touching and smelling the living plants in the dirt. Awesome. Watering. Nice. You know what I like most? I like weeding. I really like weeding. I love like hunting weeds down in my lawn and or hedges and like pulling them out with my bare hands. This is actually our backyard. Can anyone see a weed? See these things? Well, to me they're weeds. I was actually about to say that I'm not an expert, but for all I know, I'm probably pulling out proper plants. But it's still fun. So yeah, we just recently moved into a house with a beautiful front garden, a beautiful big back garden. And gardening has become something that me and my wife have really gotten into. One of the weeds that I really love pulling out is in our grass, and it sort of pops up all over the place. And again, it might not be a weed, I don't know. But I like pulling it out because it comes out so beautifully and there's like this ball of soil on the end of it and you shake it off and it's just lovely. It's almost cathartic gardening, don't you think? Like just walking through your lawn and doing little bits and pieces. And what's the point of all this? If I let the weeds grow, we all know this, they would take over the lawn. They would take over the plants. It wouldn't look as nice. It would be a nightmare to fix once it had been left for too long. So instead, I need to weed a little bit each day, each week to get on top of it. One here, one there. And you know where I'm going. Our life is a garden full of beauty and wonder and life and weeds sometimes. Actually, for me, most of the time, I don't know about you. And when we leave certain weeds untouched for a long time, they become habits in our life. They turn into lifestyles, which then turns into character and so on. So it's important to do our daily weeding. Amen. Now, this passage can be interpreted in so many different ways. Trust me, I've studied if not all of them, all of them this week. And I wrestled with it. There's the Jesus using an ancient Egyptian, which was then slash turned into a Jewish folk tale about a poor man and a rich man going to the afterlife, except Jesus gives his sort of twist on it at the end. There's the, this is a true story about real people. This parable only appears in the Gospel of Luke, and it is the only parable which names a person in a parable, Lazarus. Every other parable is just unnamed people. So it led scholars to believe that maybe Jesus was telling a true story about real people. This is Jesus teaching about the afterlife, and probably one of the most taught. Every sermon I looked at online on this passage was based, most 98.5% of them were people teaching about heaven and hell. That this is what this passage is about. Jesus is actually teaching about hell and heaven. Hell is hot. Apparently in hell you can see heaven. You can speak to people in heaven, actually. You remember your whole life, which, I don't know, may or may not be true. You can negotiate with Abraham. You can influence people who are alive. There's a great chasm between them. And apparently heaven is hanging out with Abraham in his bosom. Another interpretation says that. And apparently also people from heaven might want to go to hell and vice versa. Abraham also says that. I'm not going to be talking about that today. I know that's a big part of this passage, but I'm not going to really be touching about that. Let's chat afterwards. There's the easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle stuff. That this passage is actually about rich people go to hell. Except the only problem with that is that Abraham was incredibly wealthy and he's in heaven. So that sort of blows that one out. My actual favorite one that I found was that this is actually, this comes in the context of Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and that this parable is actually Jesus having a go at the chief priest Caiaphas. Caiaphas was very wealthy, and from an external source, Josephus, who was a Jewish writer at the time, Caiaphas had five brothers. In this parable, the rich man has five brothers. And we also know that Caiaphas knew Moses and the prophets probably better than anyone. And so it could have been Jesus having a go at him, or at least at the Pharisees. I liked that, and if I had to pick one of those, I would probably go with that one, although there's conjecture either way anyway. So anyway, you get the point. This is a really difficult passage and can be interpreted in many different ways. What do you think it's about? Do you like any of those ones that I've just sort of laid out for you? I think I've given you a hint about what I think it's about with this weeding analogy, right? To paraphrase Deuteronomy and Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, this is what I think it's about. Grow your life around every word that comes from the mouth of God. Build your life, grow your life, water your life, feed your life around every word that comes from the mouth of God. Why? Because the Word of God reminds us that we're all equal, that we're all created equal. And this is my only point that I have for us this morning, church, that we're all created equal. See, the rich man's problem wasn't that he was rich. As I said, Abraham was rich. Many people are rich. In other parts of the New Testament, Paul talks about being rich. It's not a sin to be rich, to enjoy your riches and to bless other people with your riches. The rich man's problem was that he thought he was above Lazarus. He believed there was a hierarchy in the social order that meant he didn't have to deal with people like Lazarus. I believe Jesus detests this so much that what he does is he contrasts this social hierarchy, this horrible hierarchy, with the opposite and equally ridiculous hierarchy in the afterlife. Lazarus will be carried with angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man will eternally burn in fire that never quite completely destroys him. And there'll be this great chasm between you that you can't cross, but you can see and speak to each other, and he'll be up there and you'll be down here. And just as the dogs licked his sores, now you will have to lick his finger just to get a taste of water. You see, he's contrasting the hierarchy in the real life to this ridiculous upside down thing in the afterlife. And you can see hints in the text, apart from the ones I've just said. And in verse 19, the rich man dresses in purple, which, as we know, was a sign of wealth in the ancient world because purple dye was the rarest to find. He has fine linen on, which basically meant he wore underwear, which again was quite rare in the ancient world. He had fine linen for underwear, which meant he was very wealthy. And he lived a luxurious life. In verses 24 and 27, even in the afterlife, he ignores Lazarus and sends his requests. Do you see what he does? To Abraham. And he tells Abraham to send Lazarus and do things. He can't even speak to Lazarus in the afterlife. He sends him to dip his finger in the water so that he can get a touch. He sends him to send Lazarus back to my brothers to warn them. He can't even address Lazarus in the afterlife. He's above him. Why would he speak to him? See, like a weed, these views become habits, which are lifestyles, and eventually become part of one's character. The rich man wasn't born thinking this way, was he? He just happened to maybe be born into a family where a belief in self-importance, self-righteousness permeated to the point of him believing it. Like a weed, this evil thought would have grown slowly over time, so that eventually it was all he knew. Interestingly, side point, he knew Lazarus' name, didn't he? Because he says it in the afterlife. And yet he never did anything for him. One of the things this passage assumes that we know is that the rich man and his brothers were Jewish. And it assumes that they also knew the scriptures, which means they would have known the hundreds and hundreds of passages warning them about greed and the importance of looking after the poor. But over and over again, because of this social hierarchy that he'd let grow like a weed in his life, he ignored it. Imagine this with me. As a good Jewish man, he would have woken up on Saturday mornings, he would have got dressed in his fine linen and purple robes, he would have got his servants and whoever else, his posse, and they would have left his house and he would have left his gate and he would have walked straight past Lazarus and he would have walked all the way to synagogue. And in the synagogue, he would have heard passages like this. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are equal. Rich and poor in Proverbs 2. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. What about this in Malachi? Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? In Leviticus, a passage on laws. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were once foreigners in Egypt. Micah, we know this one well at Seaforth Baptist. Well, what does the Lord require of us? To act justly and to love mercy, to walk humbly. You can imagine that he would have what he would have thought when he heard these scriptures in synagogue on us every single Saturday. Because you see, they didn't just read them out. They taught in them. They wrestled with them. They discussed them. Imagine this passage one Saturday as he goes to synagogue. Isaiah 58, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, says the Lord, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? And how about this? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? This passage tells us that Lazarus just longed for the crumbs off the rich man's table. You see, church, we are all created equal. But we have a choice in the short time that we are alive to treat people equally or not. You know some of the ways I treat people like they're below me? I judge them. I talk about them. Eleanor Roosevelt had that great quote. She says, great minds discuss ideas. average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. The first time I heard that, I was a teenager. It's never left me. How much time do I waste talking about people? And I'm not talking about people in an encouraging, uplifting, good way. That's a weed in my life that I need to get rid of. That's not helping me see my brother and sister the way God sees them. Judging isn't for us. You know what a judge does? A judge decides who's guilty and who's innocent. But the reason he gets to make this decision is because he should be at least impartial. He shouldn't be emotionally invested in the case. If I'm part of the story, I'm compromised. And being human beings, we're always the hero in our own story, aren't we? So what right do we have to judge someone else? Let's be a people who only speak about each other with encouragement and love, lifting each other up for our created value. And I'm not talking about in public. I'm predominantly talking about when we're in private, when we're speaking to our husband and wife, if you're married, when we're speaking to our best friends who we know will keep a secret. That's the stuff the Lord looks at. Don't let judgment and social hierarchy become a weed in your life. One final thought. D.T. Niles had this great quote about evangelism, but I think it works for all of life as Christians. Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Isn't that what life as a Christian is all about? We're just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. The rich man never saw himself as a beggar, did he? No way would he see himself as a beggar. That weed had taken over his heart a long time ago. Can you see yourself as a beggar? Can you see yourself like Lazarus? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy that he considers himself the worst of sinners. And it's not that he's putting himself down. It's that he sees himself the same as everyone else, his brothers and sisters, that we're all capable of growing weeds in our garden. And we're all capable of beautiful things as well. That's about all I've got. I have weeds in my life. Little g gods, if you will, that I let grow and I paid more attention to. Things that tangle up my heart. Whether it's love of money, or fear of man, or an overinflated self-importance, or like the rich man, thinking I am above other people. Whatever it is for you, can I remind you this morning that the way we should grow our life is around every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yes, he speaks to us in visions and dreams and other people and beautiful things like that, and nature and art and so on. But this is a way in which we can listen, hear, soak in his words for our life. As followers of him, I hope that I'm reading this every day. I hope that I'm finding time in my life where I can shape, be molded into the likeness of Jesus by spending time in this. Because this is the greatest weed killer I know. Is it not? So eventually the habits we act out, the lifestyles that we choose to live, and the characters that form within us all give God the glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for stories like the rich man and Lazarus, that we're not told to just sit and take in what we read without using the brains that you've given us, but we are to wrestle with this. Lord, that we are to wrestle with your scripture. We are to listen to your Holy Spirit as we sit with it and soak it in slowly, so that you can weed out the parts of ourselves that are not of you, so that you can grow us into the likeness of Christ more and more every day. Father, right now I just ask that your Holy Spirit, as it has already been doing, would just be whispering to us, prodding us on just one weed that is tangled in our heart. Just one lie that we're believing about ourselves, about you, about someone else. Just one way in which we're not seeing things clearly like you do. And Lord, whether it's coming down for prayer after the service, asking our neighbor for prayer, Lord, whatever it is, may we deal with that today. And Lord, help us to see each other for our created value, loved and bought at a price by you. We bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.